I surrender all to thee, I freely give. I will ever love and trust you in your presence daily.
Good morning. So good to see all of you who have come out to join us for our worship service today. And what a beautiful sunny day it is outside, and it feels nice and cool in here. And so it's good to have all of you here. We've got visitors with us this morning as well. Want to welcome you. So glad that you're here. And I see some dear friends from Bridgewater who I got to know several years ago, and they have stopped by this morning. We want to welcome you as well. But for all of you that are here, there are some people that still are in the automobiles outside that listen to the service from time to time. And so for those out in the drive-in experience, we want to welcome them to our service. And for all of you and all of our guests and visitors, we say welcome. We're glad that you're here. We pray that this morning is going to be a good time to be in the house of God. Why is that? Because God loves you, and God wants something special for you and for your life. And I pray that you're going to be open to that, so that when God pours down His Holy Spirit upon us, that you will be ready to receive that. Again, I just want to say welcome. We're glad that you're here to join us in worship this morning. We're continuing today in the sermon series, Connecting with God. Today's message is Part 3, the prayer of surrender. And I pray that that's going to be something that God's going to be speaking to us and allow us to come to fruition of what God would want to do in our lives, the prayer of surrender. Well, this past year, people have experienced some extreme stress with navigating through the pandemic. For sure, the most difficult type of stress is the stress that you have no control over. If there's stress that you can change something, that's a lot easier to handle because you know you can change it if you need to. But what happens when you experience stress over things in life that you can't change and you can't eliminate? And let me give you three examples of stress you have no control over. And the first is uncontrollable circumstances. If where you feel helpless, it could be as simple as mundane as being stuck in traffic because of an accident, like I was on 81 on my trip back from Winchester. I couldn't do anything about it. Mundane, but it could be more serious and deeply painful and intense, like an illness, that you have a disease, incurable even. What do you do then? Can't do anything about it. Or even worse than that, what about the loss of a loved one and they're taken from you without warning? Something that you can't do anything about, uncontrollable circumstances, that causes all kinds of stress in us. Well, a second is uncooperative people. People who are in your life that drive you crazy. I don't know, maybe you don't have any of those. But no matter how nice you are to them, they are cranky and mean and ungrateful. No matter what you do, it's just not enough. It's not good enough. You can't do anything about it. They're not going to change, and you just have to kind of go along with it and learn how to adapt. Well, here's a third. It's an unexplainable pain. When we have pain and we know why we're having it and what's causing it and finding some remedies and treatment, that's one thing. We can handle it a whole lot better than when we're beginning to have pain and it's unexplainable and the doctors can't find out why it is and it doesn't make any sense. You see no rhyme or reason to it. It's the kind of pain where you're always asking why. Why me and why this and why now? Do you have any of these things happening in your life? where you have no control over, uncontrollable circumstances, uncooperative people, unexplainable pain. When you have this kind of stress and there's nothing you can really do about it, you're just going to have to live with it. So it seems that the only solution is surrender. You have to surrender it to God. Because when you do, that's where peace and serenity come from. They come when we finally let go of that which we're trying to control, which we can't, and surrender it to God. You see, this truth leads us to the second phrase of the Lord's Prayer in this series of connecting with God. You remember last week, we looked at the first phrase, and that first phrase was, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I call that the prayer of connection. We talked about what kind of Father is God. God is our Abba. And the Greek word that's Abba means our daddy, our father, our intimate one. And so when you pray Abba, daddy, father. But today we're going to look at the second phrase. Now, maybe I should mention, if you missed that sermon last week, you can go to our website, boonsmillchurch.org, and you can hear an audio message about that sermon. But today we're going to the second phrase in the Lord's Prayer, and that is Matthew 6:10, which says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's what I'm calling the prayer of surrender. We're going to be looking at "Thy kingdom come." And most people have no idea really what this means. Jesus, he taught over and over parables. He said, well, the kingdom is like this. It's like a mustard seed. It starts really small, grows really big. And he said, it's like someone who's got 10 coins and they lose one of them. They search the house and they finally found it and they rejoice. And Jesus is always trying to explain because people couldn't understand, what is the kingdom of God? When is it coming? And God and Jesus said, well, it's like this. What in the world is God's kingdom? First, let me tell you what it's not. God's kingdom is not political, it's not national, and it's not governmental. And that is a problem in our country because we have a movement of national Christianity. In other words, we seem to think if we fly the flag, if we lift up our nation, that somehow it has power to say that we're some kind of godly nation. And that's a sad thing because the Church of the Brethren has always been anti-government in the sense of political reasons to say that God is blessing us because of our nation. A lot of times we pray, God bless the United States. I really think we ought to be praying, God bless the people of the world. Well, I don't want to go there. What I'm trying to say is that the kingdom of God is not political, it's not national, and it's not governmental. What is it? It's eternal, and it's universal. And it's for everybody. God's kingdom is for all people. It has nothing to do with the government. You know, when you try to set up a nation and say that it is God rule, that is a theocracy. And we're not trying to set up a theocracy in our Christian way of living. In fact, I'm opposed to that. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want a theocracy. The Bible says in John 18, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So we're not trying to set up God's kingdom as a physical, political, and institutional entity on the earth. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing that the Bible says. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What does that mean? That means the kingdom of God is not just something you sit around and debate. It's something you do and you're involved in. The problem is a lot of Christian study and they discuss doctrine and they study the interpretation of the Bible. But after they do that, they never do anything with the study. The kingdom of God is not words, it's power. It's action. It's something that changes your life. And that little clip that we saw there about the African work of the church there, that's one of the things. It goes into a place that is dangerous. It goes into a place that it is in turmoil. It goes into a place to where it's trying to share the love of God, even under sacrifice and danger. Because what happens is it changes people's lives when you are doing something in the name of Jesus. Well, that's the second thing. Here's the third thing that the kingdom is not. In Romans 14, it says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. In other words, it's not material. But it's living right with God and a life of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's spiritual and it's relational. The kingdom of God is spiritual, living right with God. In other words, when you do what God is saying that we should do in order to be His people, then living that way, that is the kingdom of God. And it's relational. It's living a life of joy and peace and sharing that with our brothers and sisters. In other words, it's all about connecting to God and connecting to each other in what we say we believe. All right, these are the things that is not. So what is it? Well, first, let us answer, where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is king. If He's king in your heart, the kingdom of God is within you. If He's king in heaven, then the kingdom of God is in heaven. If He's king here on earth, as one day when He comes back, then the kingdom of God will be here on earth. In fact, the Bible says all three of these are happening at the same time. That God is within us when we surrender and allow God to be our king, that He's in heaven and that's where God's throne is, and that He's here on earth when people are allowing Him to be their Lord. The Bible says the kingdom of God is in heaven. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. The Bible says the kingdom of God is on earth. It's wherever Jesus is king. It's wherever He rule and His reign is. And the kingdom of God is wherever God's will is done. If God's will is done in your family or in our church or wherever, then the kingdom of God is here. That's why we need to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, God's will is done, and it's done perfectly. But it's rarely done here on earth. It's rarely done here out of love. It's rarely done here out of holiness and goodness and caring. Thy will be done is the prayer of surrender. When we pray to God, Thy will be done, then you've surrendered your heart and life. Because you're not trying to do it your way, you're trying to do it God's way. It says, God, You're in charge. It says, I'm not in charge. And those uncontrollable circumstances and uncooperative people and unexplained pain, all that I'm going to give to You, all of those things. I'll give them up. I'll surrender them. I surrender it all to You. What does it mean to surrender? Now, I want to give you four stress-changing choices that you can make to face what it means to surrender. And the first one is, surrendering to Jesus means letting go of control. Every day you get up in the morning and you have to decide who's going to be in control of your life. Are you going to be? Or is God going to be in control of your life? Every day it's a battle. Because you want control. You want to make your own rules. But that means you want to be your own God. You see, if you control your life and you make the rules and you decide what your life should be, then you are playing God. Therefore, stress relief always starts when you are able to let go and let God be God and obey Him and trust Him and believe Him. It always starts with saying, God, I'm giving up control because you can control the things that are out of control in my life. I've been trying and I can't do it. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Now, I don't know how often you do that. I don't know how often you try to get still and just let God be God. God says, I'm in control, so you need to let go and you need to know that I will take care of everything. You need to know that I am God. The word be still there in the Psalm 46 is in the Hebrew literally means let go. It says be still, but you could translate that let go. God says this is the first step to serenity in your life no matter what happens. You've got to let go and know that God is in control. Whenever we face out of control situations, things that are beyond our control, we always tend to go to one or two extremes. First, the more out of control your life gets, the harder you try to control it. You say, I will make this thing happen. I will make this marriage work. I will beat this illness. You redouble your effort. You're not at peace at all, and you're just tied tighter in a knot in your stomach. That's one extreme. The other extreme is just the exact opposite. Then you just give up. You go into despair, and you start getting depressed, and you're miserable. And both of those reactions to stress are foolish. They don't work. So instead of becoming hyper-controlling and try to redouble your efforts, or instead of being a depressed victim, instead you need to pray the prayer of surrender. The number one reason you're under stress is because you're in conflict with God. You don't believe that God is in control. You're trying to do things, trying to control things, which only God can do. And that puts you in opposition to God. You're fighting with God. And in any conflict with God, you're going to lose. You need to pray the second verse of the Lord's Prayer, which is the prayer of surrender, which says, may your kingdom come. A lot of people pray a serenity prayer. I'm sure that you've heard of that. It's a very popular prayer. And it says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But that's not the whole prayer. The power of the prayer is in the entire prayer. And it goes like this. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Nehol Ryman. How about Reinhold Niebuhr? he's a very popular Bible scholar, and it is a tribute that he wrote this prayer. The whole prayer is that I'm going to surrender to your will. That's what the prayer is about. I surrender to your will, God. That's where all the power is. Step one is letting go of control. That's step one. Here's the second thing it means to surrender to Jesus. It's learning to be content. The second key to inner peace, no matter what happens in your life, is learning to be content. What are the alternatives? Well, you can worry about all that's going on in your life. Does that work? No. You can resent it and get bitter about it. Does that work? No. You can regret it. That doesn't work. You can be fearful about it. That doesn't work. There's only one thing that works in a situation where you can't change, and that is acceptance. Learning to be content. Paul understood this, and notice what he said in Philippians 4. He said, I have learned to be satisfied, meaning content, with the things that I have and with everything that happens. I know how to live when I'm poor, and I know how to live when I have plenty, and I have learned the secret of being happy, meaning being content. At any time, in everything that happens, I can do all things through Christ because He gives me strength. Now, when Paul wrote this, he was not at the Hotel Rono. He was in prison in Rome. And here Paul is writing, I've learned to be content in all situations, while he's sitting there in chains, chained to a Roman soldier in a cold, damp prison. He says, I've learned to be content. So he knows what he's talking about. He says, I know how to be up and I know how to be down. Plenty, whether I have that or whether I don't have anything, I know how to go through bad times. I know how to go through good times. I've learned to be content by giving it to God. And God is with me and will take care of me. Well, that's the second thing. Here's the third way of surrendering to Jesus. It means laying down my plans. You know, plans we make get changed a lot. We plan to do something and something comes up and it changes and problems come up that sabotage our plans, and that's called life. That's just what happens. Life is a continuous flow. It's not static. So you have to lay down your plans, because problems are always going to get in your way and they're not going to cooperate with your plans. Plans don't work out first because of this reason. We make all kinds of bad decisions. And that's one reason our plans often don't work out. But secondly, because we have an enemy who's working against us, and his name is Satan. Satan wants to defeat you and what's going on in your life. He's always planning how to mess up your life. But third, we live in an imperfect world. Through Adam, when he sinned, sin entered the world and everything on this planet became broken. And it has been going downhill ever since. Nothing works right. So as a result, sometimes we have problems that are simply just because we are part of this broken planet on Earth. Listen, brothers and sisters, there's going to be problems in your life. Either you are getting over some problems, or you're facing some new problems today, or you will face some problems tomorrow. And that's why we have to stick together. You know, when mountain climbers are climbing Mount Everest, they hook themselves to each other with ropes and hooks, and so that if one of them falls off the cliff, everybody else can pull them back to safety. And that's why we need to get connected, to get connected here at the Boone's Mill Church, to each other, to get connected to God together. We need to get connected together so that we can be strong, and when we stumble and fall, we can pick each other up and we can continue on our journey. What does God want to do in your life more than anything else? I'll tell you what He wants to do. He wants you to learn to be unselfish. Life is about learning to be unselfish. It's the number one lesson. God wants you to learn to be like Him. God is love, and God wants what's best for everyone. In order to be like God, it means I've got to learn to love like God. I've got to learn to be unselfish like God. Life is all about growing and learning and to be other person-centered instead of being self-centered. God wants you to learn to be a giver, not a taker in life. Jesus said, if you insist on saving your life, hoarding it, having it all for yourself, keeping everything for yourself, you will lose it. Only those who give away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. And that's what it means to surrender. I lay down my plans, my life, I surrender myself to God. And what happens when I make the kingdom of God my primary concern? I care about the things God cares about. And what does God care about most of all? People. You. That's who God cares about. What does it mean to surrender? Well, here's the fourth thing. Surrendering to Jesus means leaving the future to God. I'm going to live today one day at a time. I'm going to decide in advance to leave the results of my life up to God. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. I'm not going to lean on me. I'm going to lean on God. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. Well, what does that mean? What does having a straight path mean? It means this. He's going to keep you on the right track. He says, if you choose to trust in the Lord and listen to what God thinks is best, and you will acknowledge Him in every area of your life, He says He will guide you. He will keep you on the path that you need to be traveling. He will keep you headed in the right direction, and He will take you off the wrong direction and put you back in that way. Let me ask you, would you like to have less stress and more peace and more serenity in your life? Of course you would. Sure, the answer is yes. All of us would want less stress and struggle, and we would want more peace. If you do, you have a decision to make. Decision that you would need to make is not that I'm going to do what I think's best, or it's I'm going to do what God thinks is best for me. And I'm going to do what He wants me to do. So what will it be? Will you surrender to God today? Surrender is the ultimate expression of faith. I'll be honest with you. Here is what Jesus said to do in Luke 14. You must give up everything. You have to give up everything if you want to be my follower. So when you come to Jesus and you give up everything, you give your life to Him, then you surrender control. You surrender to be content in all things. You surrender your plans. You surrender your future into His hand. You surrender your all to Him. That's the prayer of surrender, and that's what I'm asking you to pray as we end this service today. Oh Lord, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I want to surrender to You. Would you pray with me? Abba, Father, people are stressed out today by crazy circumstances and people and pain. We look for solutions and we look for explanations when really what we need to look for is You. And I pray that today those who are experiencing deep stress will experience the serenity of surrender. Father, there are some here who don't know even how to let go. Help them to relax and to have faith and to trust in Your love right now. And so, God, we all pray together in our heart this prayer. God, I'm tired of fighting and resisting. I'm not going to try to control what's going on in my life anymore. I give in. I surrender. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in my life. Jesus, I let go of control right now. I want to learn to be content right now. And so I'm going to lay down my life for Your plans and purpose right now. I leave the future to You. Oh God, please replace my stress with Your serenity, for I surrender my all to You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender.